Sunshine and a high of 66, a light northwest breeze. Clear skies also coming tonight with a low of 40, light southwest breeze. Occasionally breezy, really borderline breezy tomorrow, 75. Low humidity levels will spark a very high fire danger area-wide. Saturday, similar conditions, sunny and 70. Wintry mix now at least possible on Sunday with a high temperature of 37.
Yesterday, we topped at 65, overnight low down to 36. Right now, a northwest breeze, it's light, gusting to 5, sunshine, plenty of that out there right now. 37 degrees here at KVOE, live and local. Good morning. It is 826, and welcome to the ESU Buzz, brought to you this morning by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226, and by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu.
Emporia State University. It just hits different because ESU puts the student first by offering things like flat rate tuition, meaning you pay one rate per semester when you take 12 or more credit hours. 14 hours, one rate. 18 hours, one rate. You get it. ESU also keeps class sizes small, so you get one-on-one instruction, plus real-world experience to help you prepare for your future career. See why ESU hits different for you. Visit emporia.edu. That's emporia.edu. Emporia State University.
Join local experts for a first-time homebuyer's presentation on Thursday, February 26th at the Clint Boyer Building on the Lyon County Fairgrounds. Hear from REMAX Eck Real Estate Realtors, Emporia State Federal Credit Union loan officers, along with insurance and title companies on the home buying process, financing options, grants, and insurance. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. Presentation begins at 6. Multiple prize giveaways. ESFCU, NMLS number 424226, Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome once again to the ESU Buzz, and we're very pleased to be joined on our Buzz edition this week by Mr. Mark Brown, physics instructor and director of ESU's Peterson Planetarium, as we kind of go lunar this week and talk about a full lunar eclipse visible next week. Mark, good morning. How are you today?
Morning, Ron. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Well, it sounds like, Mark, you have, I mean, we're going to have you on with us next week to talk about a whole lot of other stuff and a couple of other guests, too, what Emporia State University is either tracking or fully involved with. But I think, honestly, for some of us, this full lunar eclipse, which is coming up really quickly, may have snuck up on us.
Well, yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't been able to publicize it. I just haven't had the time because of all the other events that we've got going on. But, yeah, these things kind of sneak up on us, but this is a really cool event. And so on the morning of March 3rd, next Tuesday, we will have basically a 4-hour event, where the moon will slide into Earth's shadow.
All right. What do they call this? The worm moon? Mark?
So this is called the full blood worm moon, if you want to look at it that way.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
There's a lot, too, you can look at. So basically, we have a full moon that's going to slide into Earth's shadow and go into an eclipse and could possibly turn a very dark or blood red color. If we talk about the worm moon faction, there's a lot of our indigenous people and a lot of cultures that look at these full moons during the course of each month, and they name them. And so, you know, in the past, we've had the full wolf moon, we've had the cold snow moon, harvest moon. This worm moon is actually basically signifying that, hey, winter is ending and spring is on the way, the ground is thawing, and this is where we see the emergence of earthworms.
Okay, so you said 4-hour stretch. When can we look for this?
So the initial eclipse begins at 2:44 a.m. on Tuesday morning, March 3rd. And so that is what is called the penumbral portion or phase of the eclipse. And that is a very subtle dimming of the light. So the Earth will cast two shadows, a lighter portion, what they call the penumbra, and then the darker portion, which is called the umbra. The penumbra is very uneventful. It's very subtle, just a light shading you might notice. The novice isn't going to really notice it from the full moon light that's reflected. And then around 3:50 a.m., that is when the moon will start to slide into Earth's darker portion, the umbral portion. This is where you'll start to see little bites being taken out of the moon, and so, which is really a cool observational thing, because when Earth's umbral shadow is always circular, and this proves that the Earth is a sphere. So you can go back as far as 2,500 years ago with Pythagoras and Aristotle, and they were observing the very same thing and trying to figure out what this curvature feature was that was going across the moon, and they basically used observations to say this was the curvature of the Earth.
All right, and then we hit the total eclipse about what time, Mark?
About 5:04 a.m. It's going to be totally immersed into Earth's umbral portion for about an hour. Maximum eclipse will be at 5:33 a.m., and then it will start to slide into the outer portion of Earth's shadow around 6 or so.
Is this going to be, as far as eclipses go, and specifically lunar eclipses here, Mark, is this the only one that we really have a chance to see here, at least across our coverage area, or could there be a couple other ones here that maybe will be popping up?
So we will not have another eclipse. We'll have a partial lunar eclipse in 2028, and then we will have two total eclipses in 2029. So they kind of go in this wane and ebb. We had one last March, March 14th, and then before that, it was 3 years. So we were kind of in this three-year drought. So they kind of wane and ebb, and sometimes we get two in a row or something like that.
Again, this is Mark Brown, physics instructor, director of ESU's Peterson Planetarium on the ESU Buzz, talking about the full lunar eclipse, which should be visible Tuesday, March 3rd. I guess the weather forecast right now, Mark, is not looking very conducive to really clear skies. The cloud cover is the rule Monday night, Tuesday, and into Tuesday night. How much will this hamper the view?
Well, if it's totally cloudy, we're not going to be able to see it. But if we get clouded out, don't fear, because you could go and you could search NASA Science Live, or you could search NASA's YouTube channel, and they will be streaming the eclipse live from somewhere. So you're not going to miss it. But everyone on the dark side, on the night side of Earth, will be able to see this eclipse, provided that it's not cloudy.
Mark, this is obviously not taking place in you know, class time, you know, 3 to 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning. But do you have some students or maybe some other faculty that may be joining you, depending on the cloud cover here, for maybe some observations and some scientific work as this goes?
Well, I know that you're up early, so if you want to join me out in the field, that's fine. I have not had any takers. I do have a preliminary observing activity for my students, so it's going to be optional, but they can choose to go out and try to look for it. And they can also view it online and then get their perspectives. They can write up something for me.
All right. If cloud cover is conducive or non-conducive, basically conducive to viewing this, so what about some viewing tips? What do you recommend, Mark?
Viewing tips, there's a lot to you. When you talk about the science, you know, there's not a lot of science. Well, you could. Basically, if you have a telescope or a pair of binoculars, you can actually see the moon moving over some of the stars in the sky. So you could actually do a timing. So when you see this star wink out at the edge of the moon and time that, so then when it reappears on the other side. So you can do some neat things about that. Again, you can observe the curvature of Earth's shadow on the moon. Track the color change. This is a really cool observational exercise. So if we are over here in Kansas and we are looking at how red this moon is, take note of that. If you have a family friend or family member, let's say in California, 2 hours away, the moon's going to be higher in the sky for them. They're going to be seeing the total lunar eclipse. Ask them. Get their perspective and how transparent the skies are and what color they saw the moon. So you could do that. When I'm out there doing my time lapse, I just let the camera take over, whether it's on just a standalone camera or through the telescope. Observe the changes in the surrounding night sky. Note how many stars are visible when it's a full moon, and then when you go into totality, look at the landscape. Look at how things really darken up. I've had people go out, and they'll put their back to the light of the full moon. They'll take a picture of their shadow on the ground, and then when totality hits, they'll do the same thing. And just to note those appearances, the nocturnal creatures. What do the nocturnal creatures do? Some people, it's just also natural. When we think of the light dimming down, like if we go into sunset, the temperatures naturally get colder. Well, the moon isn't emitting any heat source on us or anything like that. But people just instinctively take note that it just seems colder when the moonlight dims.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
The other question I had here, Mark, is, you know, there's obviously some differences in safety when it comes to the lunar eclipses versus the solar eclipses. You know, obviously you're not supposed to stare at the sunlight during a solar eclipse, even when the sun, you know, disappears. But are there any other differences in really observation when it comes to solar versus lunar?
This one is perfectly safe. So go out, view with your unaided eye, view with a pair of binoculars, telescope. It's perfectly safe, and just take it all in and enjoy the color that we get to see. The one thing about this, because we are going from Kansas, the moon will be relatively low in our west-southwest sky, so it's got a lot more atmosphere for that light to travel through. And so the light that is streaming through Earth's atmosphere, remember, we had dust storms and we had the wildfires a few weeks ago, so all that particulate matter, volcanic eruptions, gets thrown up into the atmosphere. So how much more of that particulate matter is going to cause the moon to turn more of a blood red or to make it dim more from our perspective? So that would be one thing to look for, and how dark this eclipse appears as compared to others.
Well, hopefully we can get some clear or even partly cloudy skies coming up next Tuesday for the full lunar eclipse that is expected to be visible again Tuesday, March the 3rd, early morning, beginning right around 2:44. Mark, always great stuff. Look forward to having you back.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, we will. What are you going on there? Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, Mark Brown, physics instructor and director of ESU's Peterson Planetarium, on this edition of the ESU Buzz, brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226, and by Emporia State University, hands-on learning that prepares students for successful careers. Discover the possibilities at emporia.edu. Stingers up, ESU. Good morning. It's 8:37.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More